Today's message is this. You have got to know this to go forward in 2012. You have got to know this to go forward in 2012. And it's this, that you are invaluable. In other words, a price cannot be put on you because your value is out of this world. Now, in ministering in downtown over the years, I've noticed that a lot of people are stuck in a shelter in a small place, perhaps because of low self-esteem. And some people feel so low that they feel they can do a push-up under a penny. Anybody ever been there? You have felt so low that you feel like you can do a push-up under a penny. And maybe it's due to harsh words that were spoken into your life. Maybe as a child in an adult relationship, somebody verbally and emotionally abused you. They talked down on you. They said that you would never go anywhere in life. They told you that you were an accident, a mistake. And so this person spoke these words into your life. They abused you, and it wrecked it. It really did havoc to your self-esteem. And I want to read you something today. It's called this. It's called a $100 bill. Doesn't matter what somebody has done, what they've said, that was said to you in your life, you are very valuable in the sight of God. Now this, a well-known speaker started off his seminar by holding up a $100 bill. In the room of 200, he asked, who would like this $100 bill? Hands started going up. He said, I'm going to give this $100 bill to one of you, but first, let me do this. He proceeded to crumble up the $100 note, and then he asked, who still wants it? Still hands were up in the air. Well, he replied, what if I do this? He dropped it on the ground and started to grind it into the floor with his shoe. He picked it up, now crumbled and dirty. Now who still wants it? Still, the hands went up into the air. My friends, you have all learned a very valuable lesson. No matter what I did to the money, you still wanted it because it did not decrease in value. It was still worth $100. Many times in our lives, we are dropped, crumpled and ground into the dirt by the decisions we make and the circumstances that come our way. We feel as though we are worthless, but no matter what happens or will happen, you will never lose your value. Dirty or clean, crumbled or finely creased, you are still priceless to God and to those who love you. The worth of our lives comes not in what we do, what we have, or who we know, but by who we are. You are so special in all the world, there is only one you. Don't ever forget it. Remember, you may be only one person in the world, but you may also be the world to one person. That's good, isn't it? Just like that $100 bill, no matter what you do to it, it does not decrease in value. It's the same with you, friend. Doesn't matter what's happened to you in your life, what negativity somebody has spoken over you in your life, it has not decreased your value in the eyes of Almighty God. Is that good news? All right, I'm here to tell you today that you are highly valuable, invaluable. A price cannot be set on you because your value is out of this universe. You are so valuable to the Almighty God. You're not an accident. It doesn't matter if somebody told you that you were an accident going somewhere to happen. You are not. You're not a mistake. You are here with a God-given divine end, destiny, and purpose. You are not a spare part in the body of Christ. You are not a spare part in this world. God didn't create any spare parts. Would you agree with that? Could you say amen to that today? Say it with me today. I am not a spare part in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm here to tell you today that you have got a part to play. You can do something with your life to go beyond where you are today in downtown Tulsa. Let me say it again. You have got a part to play in this world. You have got a part to play in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. You can go over and above where you are today. You can go beyond this shelter here at John 3:16. Thank God for John 3:16, but God is wanting you to go forward with your life. Friend, you can do something with your life. You're not on this earth just to take up space. You're not just existing in this world. You are here with a reason and a purpose. Could you say amen today? Amen. All right. Let's look at Luke 15 verses 1 through 10. It talks about the value of every person. Luke 15 verses 1 through 10. It's Jesus speaking. Luke 15 verses 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, that's Jesus, But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Next parable. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Why is there such great rejoicing amongst the angels in heaven over one sinner who repents? The one out of the 100 who went astray but was found. Why is there such great rejoicing? Why is there such great rejoicing over finding the lost coin in the presence of the angels of God? Why is it? He's comparing us to sheep and to coins, right? And there's such great rejoicing over that which was lost when it's found because of what? Why? Because each and every person is so valuable to God. I'm here to tell you today that you are a diamond in the eyes of God. The most precious of stones is what in this world? The most precious of stones is a diamond. I'm here to tell you today that you are a diamond in the eyes of God. You are the apple of God's eyes. You are the apple of God's eye, friends. You are a diamond of God. You are worth more than all the silver, gold, and diamonds combined in this world to God. You're so valuable to God. And you might be wondering today, what are some of the biblical foundations proving that I'm so valuable to God? What are some of the biblical foundations? What is one of the reasons that you're so valuable to God? It goes all the way back to the beginning. Why is it that you are so valuable to God? Why is it that you are a diamond to God? Why is it that you are worth so much to the Almighty God? Why is it? Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Back to the beginning here, it says this. When God created man. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Why is it that you are so valuable to God? Because you're created in the image of God. Right? You created in his image. Part of God is on the inside of you. I mean, who is the most valuable in this entire universe? God. If part of him is on the inside of you, what does that make you? If he's the most valuable in the universe, and part of the most valuable is on the inside of you, what does that make you? Highly valuable. Part of God is on the inside of you. In a spiritual sense, in a non-literal sense, you are flesh of God's flesh and bone of God's bone. Let me say it again. In a non-literal sense, you are flesh of God's flesh and you are bone of God's bone. How many here have a child? You're flesh and bone. Anybody here have a child? Okay, you got a parent, right? And their blood runs through you, and your blood runs through your child, right? Part of you is on the inside of your child. Part of your parent is on the inside of you. Would you agree? All right, now, let's say it's that child or that parent. You really love that child. You really love that parent. And somebody harms that child of yours or that parent of yours. What does it do to you on the inside? It crushes you on the inside, right? Because your blood runs through that person. Now, if that loved one of yours was in great need and you weren't able to help him or her, but somebody else did, how does that make you feel on the inside? It makes you feel so good on the inside, right? Why is that? Because part of you is on the inside of that loved one, that child, that parent, whoever it might be. Is that making sense today? When somebody helps that loved one, it's like they're helping you. Well, guess what, friends? When somebody reaches out to you, they're touching the heart of God. If somebody harms you, if somebody hurts you, they're hurting the heart of God. And it also goes this way, that when you help somebody, guess what? In a special way, you're touching the heart of God. When you hurt somebody, whoever that person might be, north to south, east to west, if you hurt somebody, you are hurting the heart of God. If you cuss at somebody who rubs you the wrong way, if you kick somebody, if you ignore the cry of somebody's help, guess what? You're hurting somebody made in the image of God, and it hurts the heart of God. Why? Because part of God is on the inside of every person on the face of this earth. Amen? Is that making sense? Because we're all created, all 6 billion plus on this earth, we're all created in the image of God. So reason number one as to why you're so valuable to God is what? You're created in whose image? We talked about it here for the last 5 minutes. You're created in whose image? In the image of God. Part of God is on the inside of whom? On the inside of us. On the inside of everybody listening to this. Another reason that you're so valuable is what? Another reason, biblical reason, as to why you're so valuable is what? That shows your value. That attests to your worth is what? The price that was paid for you. Right? Let me ask you this. How is the value of any item in this world determined? Let's say in the United States. What is it now?
Zero.
By what? Okay. Anybody else? How is the value of any item determined? Think about it. It's real simple. Okay. Anybody else? The value of an item is determined by the price that was paid for it.
Money, stock exchange.
How is the value of any item determined? How is the value of any item determined? The price that was paid for it. I know a guy, he's a helper, who recently bought a used vehicle, good little Honda, paid about $1,800 for it. What is the value of that Honda that he just bought? He paid $1,800. What's its value? $1,800. Why? That's how much he paid for it. Exactly. Exactly. If somebody goes out and buys a house for $100,000, it's in a $100,000 neighborhood. What is the value of that house? $100,000. Why? Because $100,000 was given for it. So the value of an item is determined by the price that was paid for it. Now, how is your value determined? Using this same illustration. How is your value determined? Applying the illustration that we just talked about. By the price that was paid for you. Say it with me today. My value is determined by the price that was paid for me. And spiritually, friend, what price was paid for you? Not dollars and cents. Something much greater than that. Dollars and cents cannot compare. The blood of Jesus. Let's read 1 Peter 1 verses 17 through 19. 1 Peter 1 verses 17 through 19. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Friends, I'm here to tell you today that before you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you were part of another kingdom. You were part of the kingdom of darkness. But you were redeemed. You were bought out of that kingdom. How? He says it in 1 Peter 1, verses 17 through 19. You were bought out of the kingdom of darkness by the blood of Jesus Christ that was paid for you, so that you can now, by faith in Christ, be part of the kingdom of God. What price was paid for you and me? The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, its worth is out of this universe. You can't put a dollar amount to the blood of Christ. There's no way. It's worth the worth, the value of the blood of Jesus is out of this universe. It's invaluable. It took the blood of invaluable worth to pay for you. Why? Because your worth is invaluable. Is that making sense? Let me say it again. It took the blood of invaluable worth to pay for you and for me. Why? Because your worth is invaluable in the sight of God. Is that making sense? See, that's how your value is determined, by the price paid for you and for me spiritually. And that price was the blood of Jesus Christ, the greatest thing in the universe. Without the blood of Christ, without the shedding of His blood on the cross 2,000 years ago, and our faith in Him, we'd be destined for hell. But thank God that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this world 2,000 years ago to shed His blood and to pay for our sins. Amen. To redeem us out of the kingdom of darkness and bring us into the kingdom of God. Is that good news?
Amen.
All right. And friend, because you know how valuable you are, you've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you now. We talked about two reasons, biblical reasons, as to why you are of great worth. Number one was what? From Genesis. Because you were created in what? In the image of God. That's right. Number two, you're of such great worth because of the what that was paid for you. The price that was paid for you. The blood of Jesus Christ. All right. So biblically, we realize that we are of great, great value in the eyes of God, right? God sees you that way. God sees you as invaluable. He sees you as worth so much. And that's good. But here's the thing. You have got, here's the key. God sees you as invaluable, that your value is out of this universe. But the thing is, you have got to start seeing yourself the way God sees you. It's good that God sees you as so valuable, but if you don't see yourself that way, you'll never go anywhere in life. If you see yourself as constantly low, stuck in this place, never having a better mode of transportation, you're going to be here for the rest of your life, never being able to make above $7 or $8 an hour, guess what? You'll be stuck in that same place week after week, month after month, year after year. But if you start seeing yourself as God sees you, as invaluable, as having such an important part to play in this world and in the body of Christ, guess what? You can start going forward with your life. You can go over and beyond where you are at today. Say it with me today. I can go over and beyond where I am today in Jesus' name if I start seeing myself as God sees me. It says in Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7 says this, as a man thinks about himself, so is he. The way you think about yourself will be the way you behave toward yourself. Right? Say it again. The way you think about yourself will be the way you behave toward yourself. If you see yourself as so low, just taking up space, just existing in this world, guess what? You're going to be stuck in the same place year after year after year. But if you start seeing yourself as God sees you, as worth more than all the diamonds and gold in this world, as somebody who has got an important part to play in this world. If you start seeing yourself as somebody made in the image of God, that part of God is on the inside of you, you're going to be like, wow, you know what? I'm not going to hang around with the chickens anymore in the chicken coop. I'm going to start hanging out with the eagles. I'm going to start flying like an eagle. I'm going to start flying with the bigger and better thing that God has for my life. So let me ask you today, do you see yourself as a chicken or an eagle? An eagle. You got to start seeing yourself as an eagle. You know, chickens, though they can fly, they only fly so high. Because they see everybody, every other chicken around them just flying so high off the ground. You know what I'm saying? So they see themselves as a chicken that can't do anything more. You don't want to see yourself that way, right? You want to see yourself as an eagle that can soar and glide with God thousands of feet up in the air, doing something valuable, important with your life. And because of your worth, you can do something with your life. 1 Corinthians, to close it off, 12:27. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Paul writes this. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. How many here are believers in Jesus Christ? All right, so if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are part of the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he likens the church to a physical body. He compares it to a physical body. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that if you've got faith in Jesus Christ, if you're following Jesus Christ, you are part of the body of Christ. And as part of the body of Christ, you have got something important that only you can do in the kingdom of God, in the body of Christ. You may be a mouth in the body of Christ. And what does a mouth do? A mouth talks. It speaks. So if you're a mouth in the body of Christ, maybe God is calling you to teach the word. Maybe God is calling you to preach the gospel. It may not be on a pulpit, but you can preach the gospel one-on-one with somebody on the streets of downtown Tulsa. Is that making sense? You can preach the gospel, share the gospel one-on-one with somebody here at the shelter. See, you might be a body, you might be a mouth in the body of Christ. You've just got to find out what it is that God has called you to do. If you like to speak, you like to talk, if you've got the gift of gab, maybe that's a good indicator that you're a mouth, right? A mouth in the body of Christ. Teaching the word of God and preaching the gospel. You might be a hand. You may not be a mouth in the body of Christ. You might be a hand in the body of Christ. What do hands do? What do hands do? They help, that's right. You may be called to the ministry of helps. You know, moving these chairs in this auditorium here for services, helping serve maybe at the kitchen back there, okay? Helping somebody change a flat tire, you know, demonstrating the love of Christ in action. You know, if you like doing things with your hands, you like moving chairs, you like helping to set up, you like serving food physically, so forth and so on, you know, you like helping people fix things, whether it be a gadget, a piece of technology, their house, their car. If you like working with your hands, that's probably a good indicator that in the body of Christ, you're to be what? The hands. Called to the ministry of helps. And nobody can do that ministry of helps as effectively as you. Because God has called you to do that. You are the hands in the body of Christ. You may not be a hand in the body of Christ. You may be what? You may be an ear. An ear. Spiritually sensitive. Having spiritual intuition. Being able clearly to hear from God. Okay? And sharing the heart of God with others. Some people can really hear clearly. Like in the Old Testament, you had the prophets who heard clearly from God. And once they heard from God, what did they do? Like Elijah, the prophet. He was like an ear in the kingdom of God, right? He heard from God and then he spoke to the people. You may be an ear if you like listening, if you're a good listener in conversations with others. Now, have you ever been in a relationship with somebody and you listen real well? You're not always talking, but you're listening. You do twice the amount of listening as you do talking, and you're skilled at listening. That's probably a good indicator that in the body of Christ, you're called to be an ear, right? Fulfilling that purpose. Hearing from God. That making sense today? You know, you may not be an ear in the body of Christ. You may be a big toe. You might be thinking, man, a big toe. You know, without your big toes, guess what? Without your big toes on your physical body, you could not balance your body. Did you know that? What do the big toes do? They help you balance and stand up straight and walk and run. And so, if you find yourself trying to bring peace to situations and you find people conflicting and you try to listen to both sides and try to help them reconcile, it's a good indicator that maybe in the body of Christ you're called to be a big toe, a somebody who brings balance and peace to rough situations. We could go on and on and on today, but is it making sense? Are you getting the picture right now? Every single person has a part to play in the body of Christ. You've got a part to play in the body of Christ. Don't let anybody or anything tell you you don't have a part to play in the body of Christ. You do have a part to play in the body of Christ. You may be called to business. You may enjoy doing business, negotiating with people, and producing an income, and maybe that's something you're good at. Well, maybe God has called you that so that you can help finance and fund financially His kingdom, because it takes resources to advance the kingdom of God. You know, maybe it's to start some type of general contracting business. Maybe it's to start some type of consulting business. Maybe it's to write a book to help others that would really sell well and help advance the kingdom of God. Maybe it's to be a nurse or a doctor to help other people physically with their bodies so as to share the gospel with them. Say, you know what, I'm going to help you in this area, and I'm doing it free of charge. And they'll be like, why are you doing this? Because you're important to God. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm just trying to demonstrate the gospel. Is that making sense today? And you know, you probably heard me say this before. Let me repeat it again. Where is the wealthiest place in this world? Where is the wealthiest place in this world? Just to close it off here. Anybody have any ideas where the wealthiest place in this world is? He says the bank. Anybody else? Where it is, yes. Okay, anybody else? All right, anybody else? What is it? Okay, anybody else? The wealthiest place in this world is the graveyard. His brother says, huh? The graveyard. Why is it? Because in the graveyard there is a wealth of untapped potential. People that should have done things with their lives that never did. People that had special parts to play in this world and in the body of Christ that never fulfilled those parts. Never fulfilled their potential. Why? Because maybe they never saw themselves as valuable the way God sees them. I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. How about you? How many here want to fulfill what God has called them to do? Raise your hand if that's you. If you don't want to be another graveyard statistic, raise your hand. All right. I see those hands. You know, the graveyard is so wealthy because there's a wealth of untapped potential there. People that should have done things with their lives. They should have started universities. They should have written books. They should have been doctors, nurses. They should have been lawyers for the kingdom of God. They should have been in the ministry of helps. They should have been preachers of the gospel, teachers of the word of God. But they never did what they were called to do. Why? Because they saw themselves as so low. So defeated. They didn't see themselves valuable the way God saw them. So friend, I'm here to tell you today, whenever you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror, say to yourself, I'm valuable. I am a diamond to God. I've got a special part to play in this world. And when you speak over yourself repeatedly, you'll start believing about yourself. Say it with me right now. I am valuable. I've got a special part to play in this world and in the body of Christ. I'm not going to be another graveyard statistic. I'm a diamond to God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Speak those words over yourself, friend. Speak those words over yourself. We'll all stand before God one day. And when you stand before Him one day, He's going to either say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or He might say, why didn't you do what I called you to do? I don't want to be there. How about you? All right.